The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Thank you for joining me here today on sunny 95. I think it's going to be a great day. It's a little bit cold out there, but at least it's not snowing, and Christmas is 1 week away. By the way, we will not have a show on Christmas. There's going to be Christmas music, as you can imagine, and I'll be spending it with my family, so I am happy about that, and I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas a week ahead, and I will join you again on New Year's Day, okay? So, now today what we're going to do is, on our show, we have, I'll bring him on the line in just a minute, we have Chef Jeff Henderson. Chef Jeff is an award-winning chef, best-selling author, and popular public speaker. And as an ex-offender, having served nearly a decade in prison for drugs, having run kitchens as executive chef at the renowned Cafe Bellagio and Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, he has become one of the most inspirational African-American chefs in the country. In 2001, Jeff made history in Las Vegas when he became the first African-American named chef de cuisine at Caesar's Palace. He eventually became an executive chef at several top restaurants, including Cafe Bellagio, where he worked until 2006. Jeff's remarkable story of finding his passion for cooking while incarcerated and turning his life around was captured in his New York Times bestseller, Cooked, by William Morrow in February of 2007. His story is now being turned into a major motion picture by the team that made The Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith and his production company Overbrook Entertainment, Escape Artist, and Columbia Pictures. Actually, Will Smith played Chris Gardner, who was in The Pursuit of Happiness, and I happened to meet the real Chris Gardner before that movie came out, which was pretty cool. And I guess now I happen to meet Chef Jeff, before his movie comes out. Jeff has received widespread national attention on numerous TV and radio programs and print publications, including The Oprah Winfrey Show, Good Morning America, The Montel Williams Show, CNBC, NPR's All Things Considered, People, and USA Today. As a passionate and powerful speaker, Jeff's appearances are in high demand across the country through his company, The Henderson Group. Jeff currently lives in Las Vegas with his wife and three children, and his three children are Jeffrey Jr., Noel, and daughter Troy. Chef Jeff, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. How are you?
I am great. And I don't know, I know you're traveling, so I don't know what time zone you're in, but I do appreciate you getting up early on this Sunday morning.
My pleasure. It's about 5 a.m. here in Las Vegas.
I was afraid of that.
Yes.
But in reading your book, you're used to getting up at 4:30, right?
Yes, I am. And, you know, for the past 20-plus years, I'm still on that same time zone. Well, I used to wake up to go to the prison bakery.
Right. I think it was 4:30.
Yes.
And when we were communicating by email, and I was apologizing for the time, I did mention that, you know, successful people don't get that way by sleeping in.
I'm telling you, I call it rise and grind. The early bird gets the worm.
And you are this rags to riches story, right?
Well, you know, I don't know if you want to say rags to riches. I'm like the comeback kid, you know, a guy who made a decision in his life at one point that, you know, I wanted to change, and I wanted to live the American dream the right way without looking through my rearview mirror over my shoulders.
Right, right. And I was looking at some comparisons to our lives, and in 1980, you were 16, and you were on top of the world. You had, what, 4 or 5 cars all tricked out. You had a cell phone, which was relatively uncommon then, a small cell phone. Most people had the bag phones. And you were a high roller in Las Vegas. And, of course, it was all ill-gotten. It was from dealing crack, right?
Yes. Well, you know, actually, it was 19 at the time, not 16. I was still in high school, but that's when I had began to... start selling drugs, which was weed at first, and eventually crack cocaine, hit the inner cities across this country around 82, 83, like a plague, and it had became like the wonder drug, the meal ticket for so many young people of poverty to escape, you know, that life, and I embarked on it. You know, I never used, and my addiction was the money. My addiction was the lifestyle, the dreams, all the gadgets and trinkets that I saw suburban families have.
You know, I have to ask you this question because as I read your book and you were gaining success in the drug world and your first car, a 1968 Cadillac Coupe DeVille, okay? You bought it for $375, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
You had saved up $1,000, and that's when you felt like it was safe to go out and buy this car that you had always wanted and thought was cool. But yes. then you went out and stole the sound system from another car to put it in. Why didn't you just buy it?
Yes. Well, you know, the guys I was running with was actually, I had some friends who were like professional car thieves, and at that time, Blockmont and Alpine car systems, you know, were, you know, what was in. Anything I can get ill means, you know, I did, you know, minus violence or physically taking something from someone.
Well, I understand that, but it didn't cross your mind, I've got enough money to buy the sound system too?
Well, really didn't have enough money. You know, I had money, but, you know, cash was king, you know?
Uh-huh.
I guess I felt that if I just take it, then, I'd be more cash from my pockets. But, you know, nothing I'm proud of. You know, it was a period in my life where, you know, I let criminal tendencies take over my consciousness. And, you know, it was by any means necessary to, get mine, you know?
Yeah. Now, I just want to tell you a little bit what I was doing over the weekend. This last Thursday night, I left for Denver and was there until yesterday evening at 10. And I was there, we were doing a charity event called Team Smile, where this charity teams up with NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, soccer, these sports teams, professional sports teams, and they bring in 12 dental chairs, portable, 14 dental hygiene chairs, triage, x-rays, sterilization, everything you need to hold a free day of dentistry. And we saw a lot of inner city kids. And in talking to the parents, and even honestly, I talked to a lot of the Nugget players, I heard some of the same concerns, despair that you felt when you were young growing up, meaning that your mom, single mom, didn't have a lot of money. You know, I'm assuming she didn't take you to the dentist, right?
We didn't go often. We, you know, the times that we did, you know, we feared them because back then it was a grinding and a scraping without the powerful Novocaine, the powerful anesthetics that you guys have today, you know. I feared a dentist. That grinding, I couldn't take it. But, we did go often, you know, not as often as we probably should have. But, we wasn't deprived of a dentist. But, you know, many young people who come from urban communities, especially today, you know, don't have access.
Well, that's exactly true. And I met so many great people, and I got to interview the parents, you know, kids. And there was this, and even, believe it or not, these NBA players, as I was interviewing them, Irvin Johnson, not Irvin Magic Johnson, the other Irvin Johnson, who's a former player,
yeah.
he was telling me how, you know, his mom was on Medicaid or Medicare. I always get those confused. And they didn't have great dental care as a child, although now he does, and he makes sure that his daughters do. But one of the things that got me... Oh, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you wanted to say something. One of the things that got me interested in asking you to be my guest is you told in your story, and I've seen you speak, that when you were in prison... You did not go to the dentist, and you didn't go to the dentist on purpose. And tell my listeners the reason.
Well, you know, in the federal and the state system, more so today than when I was in there, you know, when you have you need a root canal or you have a serious toothache, instead of them treating the issues you may have with your teeth, they just pull your teeth out.
Right.
And what happens when people get their teeth pulled out, they're not replaced, and they come out of prison back to society, that becomes a barrier, you know, to employment, you know. And I purposely didn't go because I didn't want to lose any of my teeth, even though I went through moments of serious toothaches throughout my incarceration. I knew one of the first things that I wanted to do once I got my hands on some dough was to get my teeth taken care of, getting them clean, getting them fixed, remove childhood caps and silver fillings and whatnot, because I knew that I had to have a radiant smile to be able to diffuse the prison stigma and be able to land employment positions in such prestigious places like the Ritz-Carlton, Hotel Bel Air, L'Hermitage, Caesar's Palace.
Right. A smile is very, very important. It's the first thing people
yes,
see. Right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can get a job and with a smile. You can build a relationship with a smile. And so many young people today, they just don't smile, not just because they might not have a nice grill in their mouth. It's just that, you know, so many young people have been traumatized throughout their childhood. But when you brighten that smile and those teeth are white and you feel good about yourself, it invites people in to have a relationship with you.
It definitely does, yeah. In fact, I have this stat that I discovered through research that a smile is recognizable from 300 feet, which is the length of a football field. And I say often that that is something that could have saved a person's life in days gone by when maybe life was a little more primitive and you didn't know if this other person at, you know, 300 feet away was a friend or a foe. And a smile tells you right away. And it still happens today. You know, you walk into a room, you come upon a stranger, and if you smile at them, they know you're not threatening, and if they smile back, you know that they're not. So it's actually very important, and I was just so taken by the fact that you knew that. Hey, can you hang with us? We do have to go to a break. Can you hang on?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Appreciate that. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, when we have Chef Jeff Henderson of the Chef Jeff Project on the Food Network, and we'll have more questions and answers with Chef Jeff when we return.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kvitko aquí en su estación favorita, Sunday 95.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking?
With
well, you should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Remember the beautiful smile you had before your first set of dentures? Remember the disappointment you had when you looked at them in the mirror for the first time? The teeth were either too big or too small, or they made your lip too fat. Whatever it was, they just didn't fit your face, and you've been stuck with them ever since. And to make things worse, every time you get a new set, your dentist makes them look like the old set. Here at Dr. Kvitko Mentness & Associates, rather than just copying the mistakes of years gone by, we'll use photos of you when you were younger to recreate your original smile, minus any flaws you wish us to leave out, of course. We can help you turn back the clock. Interested? Give us a call at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Canton City Chinese Restaurant is an established, family-owned and operated Chinese restaurant. You can come and sit down and enjoy the relaxed atmosphere of the Canton City, or if you're on the go or need lunch for your office or dinner for home, call us at 614-261-0262 to order takeout. We have a variety of Cantonese, Hunan, and Sichuan cuisine. You will love the price and be astonished how generous the portions are. Come visit us in our fantastic location at 4330 North High Street, located just south of Henderson in Clintonville. We are open 7 days a week. If you cannot pick from our extensive menu, we would suggest you start with our General Tso chicken. It is the best in the city. When you are craving Chinese food and have tried all the rest, come and order from the best, Canton City Chinese Restaurant in Clintonville. Call us at 614-261-0262 or stop by and see us at 4330 North High Street.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We are talking to Chef Jeff Henderson, author of Cooked, From the Streets to the Stove, From Cocaine to Foie Gras. Did I say that right, Chef Jeff?
So you did.
Okay. Now, is that goose liver? What is that?
Yeah, you get a everybody gets a chuckle from that cocaine to foie gras, you know?
Oh, hey, I get the double meaning. It's a pretty good title. Did you pick it?
Yes, I did.
And how would somebody get this book if they would like?
Well, you can buy it on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble. It's a great read. It's a quick read. It's a memoir about my life, you know, how I went through a transformation from my childhood, growing up in poverty, how I survived 5 years in the drug trade on the streets and 10 years in prison, and ultimately survived 10 years in corporate America. Yeah.
Now, I talked about, hey, did you ever think you'd wind up on a dental show?
No, I didn't. I never thought I would ever speak to dentists, but, you know, every one of my speeches, I talk about my $2,600 grill, which I have invested more. I probably have, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 into it now. But high ironic, you know.
Yeah, well, it's funny because that was going to be one of my questions. When you were in prison for the first, what, I think it was 3 years, you were just living the life of a prisoner. You hadn't really decided or hadn't found your passion yet, and yet you knew enough not to go to the prison dentist. So I guess you were just lucky that you didn't have any dental issues in that first 3 years?
Yeah, well, I was smart enough to know not to go to the prison dentist nor the prison doctor.
Oh, okay.
More or less. So
okay.
I had to make sure I took care of myself. I mean, that was his word on the yard.
Okay.
You know, yes.
Okay, so, and then I was going to ask you, you know, and you've already told me a little bit of it. I mean, when you came out, you said you spent $2,000 or $3,000. What did you need? A couple of root canals, big fillings? What'd you need?
I needed fillings replaced, root canal. I had a cap on my front tooth from when I was a kid. I flipped on my 10-speed bike and hit my mouth on the ground and chipped my tooth, so I had a cap that was there since I was a kid, and it had started getting rotten underneath. I had to get that changed. Also, some fillings came out while I was incarcerated. I don't know if anybody of your readers ever, your listeners ever, you know, was having dinner or eating something, and next thing you feel like you got rocks in your mouth, you know?
Yeah, and it's actually a piece of tooth. Yeah. Hey, and just so that you know, because as a chef, you probably have had to deal with this, if a fillings don't fall out. Fillings can't fall out if the tooth is healthy around them, because they're locked in there. They're, you know, have you ever gone by a piece of, walking on the sidewalk, you see like a rock that's stuck in there? You know,
yeah.
Okay. Well, unless you chisel out the little bit of cement that's covering the widest portion of that rock, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So the only way what?
It must be the chipped tooth then.
Well, now what happens is people get decay around their filling, and then, yeah, and then a piece of tooth, it gets soft. It's like, if it's in mush, it's not going to stay in there. So,
wow.
So the tooth turns to mush, and guess what? The filling falls out, and then people all, but you find in the restaurant industry that people want to blame you guys. They must have bit down on a bone or something, right? You're the reason that they broke their tooth.
And good point. Never looked at it that way.
And it's not really the reason. I can guarantee you in almost all cases, they had a cavity first.
Wow! Because I'm sure the restaurants and hotels settle quick claims, a lot of settlements for that.
If you, I'm not sure where you're working now, but I think it might be fair to ask for them to go to a dentist and have an X-ray or a couple different films just to see if they're, you're talking healthy teeth, because I'm sure there have been instances where a piece of bone or something got in there. There are a few legitimate cases, but I would say 95% of them, the tooth was already soft and it would have chipped with white bread the next day. So keep that in mind. See, you learned something by being on the show. Might have saved you thousands of dollars. Who knows?
Yeah, we're going to have to get you an interview and talk about that in Gourmet Magazine.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
Now tell me about the Chef Jeff Project. It's on the Food Network, right?
Yeah, well, the Chef Jeff Project isn't on. We didn't get picked up for another season. We had a one-season run.
Oh, okay. Hey, that's more seasons than I've had.
Yeah, well, great show, great concept. It was really about second chances, taking six young people off the streets, diverse backgrounds, who wanted to change.
Right.
And
they wanted to do what you wanted to do.
For pretty much, you know. But, you know, everybody's route, everybody's, you know, road to change is different. And I use food and opportunities and exposure as the launching pad to hopefully change these kids' lives. And it was an amazing show, very powerful, very life-changing, a very emotional-driven show as well.
Well, that's great to hear. It's too bad it didn't get picked up, but I guess it's a cutthroat world of TV, you know, television shows, right?
Yes, it is.
But then your story is going to be made into a movie, right, with the folks that did Pursuit of Happiness?
Yes. I was on Oprah some years ago, and after the show aired, I received a call from Will Smith, Sony Pictures, and they optioned the rights. And we're on the third script right now of that show, so of the movie, and I'm really excited about it. It's unbelievable. I would have never imagined in a million years that my life story would turn out like this. So it's been a humbling experience, and you know, very, very grateful.
Congratulations for that. Is Will Smith gonna yes. play you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if the script reads well and it fits into his mold, his brand. There is a highly good chance that he is, because, you know, when I sold the rights, I actually got to spend a day with Will on the set of I Am Legend in Brooklyn, New York.
Wow.
Yeah, so we hung out for a whole day, met his family, his business partner, Sony executives, and, you know, they wooed me over pretty good.
That's wonderful. I can't wait. Hey, maybe when the movie comes out, we can get you on the show again.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. And, yes, no doubt about it.
Okay, that sounds great. I really that'd be cool. Now, I like to say this. Tell me if you agree with this. I tell people a lot, dentistry is not expensive, but neglect is. Do you agree with that?
One more time.
Dentistry is not expensive, but neglect is.
Yes. Oh, there's no doubt. When you do neglect, it does cost more, because I have neglected before, and it wind up costing me more on the back end.
Yeah, and it's. I was interviewing some dental students over the weekend, second year dental students, and I, you know, when we do those clinics, Team Smile, you're trying to help people who would otherwise neglect their mouth due to lack of funds. And one of the second year dental students had been her family had been on welfare also. And so she understood exactly where these kids were and where they were coming from. Got to tell you, we met this this really cool family, this gentleman. His last name is Guy. I think his first name is Wilfred Guy. In fact, I got an email from him. It was waiting for me when I got home, thanking me, which was so special. And he brought 5 of his 11 children to this event. And he had lost his job in March. And he just said he just didn't know how he would ever afford dental care for his kids. But these were the most well-behaved children. You know, they looked you in the eye. I interviewed them. They, each one, you know, talked in the microphone like you would hope. I mean, we have adults that kind of back away from the microphone, and these kids were just so centered. It was just really special. And I like doing these things because it's not the kids' fault that their parents happen to be poor or happen to lose their job. You know, we have to take care of them.
Yes.
Now, in prison, I've heard that they don't give you full-size toothbrushes, because if they do, the prisoners will shave them down into a shiv. So did you have a little 2-inch toothbrush, or what did you have?
Well, no, I had a regular toothbrush. I mean, I was in a federal system. And in a federal system, you have a different caliber of convicts in there versus a state system. I'm sure you couldn't have 5 or 6 of them. There wouldn't be a reason why you would need that many. But I had a regular toothbrush. I can't remember if they sold them in a commissary or they were standard government issue. But, people use them for many different things, yes. And used as a shank is one of the ones they do. And I know in most county jails and state systems, they have little tiny 2-inch toothbrushes where you could barely just put the tip of your fingers on them.
Yeah. Now, were you allowed to have floss?
No dental floss. No.
Toothpicks?
No.
So did you ever have something that just got stuck between your teeth and you just had to play with it forever with your tongue? I mean, isn't that irritating?
Well, we had to use paper.
So you take paper and spin it into little things that look like toothpicks, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Now, your Thursday shopping list was 2 bags of Doritos, 4 to 5 avocados, top ramen noodles, cans of tuna fish and chicken, current fruit juices, some potato, some photo tickets where you would be allowed to take photos in the yard and with family visiting, stamps and greeting cards. I didn't see any toothpaste or toothbrushes on that list.
Oh, trust me, they were there. I just wasn't vocalizing them. But afterwards, we definitely need, especially when we added that squeezed cheese to those Doritos with that chicken and avocado.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. Now, let's see here. We are coming up to another break here soon. So, hey, I have many more questions if you're willing to stay with me.
Yes.
Okay, sounds great. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We are talking to Chef Jeff Henderson, who wrote a book called Cooked, had a show on the Food Network, and whose story will be made into a movie, hopefully starring Will Smith, coming up soon. When we come back, I have many, many more questions. And if you have a question for Chef Jeff, call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Canton City Chinese Restaurant is an established, family-owned and operated Chinese restaurant. You can come and sit down and enjoy the relaxed atmosphere of the Canton City, or if you're on the go or need lunch for your office or dinner for home, call us at 614-261-0262 to order takeout. We have a variety of Cantonese, Hunan, and Sichuan cuisine. You will love the price and be astonished how generous the portions are. Come visit us in our fantastic location at 4330 North High Street, located just south of Henderson in Clintonville. We are open 7 days a week. If you cannot pick from our extensive menu, we would suggest you start with our General Tso chicken. It is the best in the city. When you are craving Chinese food and have tried all the rest, come and order from the best, Canton City Chinese Restaurant in Clintonville. Call us at 614-261-0262 or stop by and see us at 4330 North High Street.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Have years of drinking coffee and tea or smoking darkened your teeth? Do you feel that you look older than your age? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset? When your smile would light up the room? With porcelain veneers, we can make your teeth sparkle again. Stop in and see our vast library of actual before and after photos, or see a small sampling of them at drkvitko.com. Plus, our available low monthly payments make them affordable. So what are you waiting for? You know you're worth it. Pick up the phone and call us at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. It's a call that is guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we have Chef Jeff Henderson, who is the author of the book Cooked. Chef Jeff spent about 10 years in the penal system for dealing drugs, and although he said he never really used and was one of the nicest drug dealers out there, right, Chef?
Never, ever used.
Okay. Yeah, like you said, your addiction was money.
Yeah, my addiction was the lifestyle, you know, just wanted a better life for my family, you know. Grew up in poverty and on welfare and government assistance, and that was the driving force behind my, you know, my criminal lifestyle. Yes. But I never used drugs, never marijuana, never cocaine, alcohol, or anything.
I have to tell you that while we were at break, we had a phone call from a woman who we thought was going to make her comment on the air, but she hung up. She's actually upset because I guess her husband works as a guard in the penal system, and her comment was that we're making light of this, and we're not making light of this at all. I mean, you did some hard time, and fortunately for you and for society, you actually got your life turned around. You could have still been either in or gone back in after getting out, and it's a turnstile for most people who are in prison, correct?
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, people will always come and criticize an individual like myself to make it appear as if, you know, we're making light of what I've done, you know. And let me tell you something, you know, I have lots of regrets in my life. I made a lot of poor choices, you know. In my past, it's nothing that I'm proud of. I've been blessed with the ability to be able to turn my life around, and I think that people who go to prison, people who do wrong, when they change, I think it should be some type of praise, because just think if criminals never changed. Right. Imagine what society would look like. I was just very fortunate to have been able to tap into the natural gifts that I was born with and was able to turn my life around and make something of myself. So I use my story as a teaching tool, as an inspiration to all criminals or former people who've made poor choices, that no matter what disasters you have in your life, no matter what deck of cards, that you can turn your life around. So it's not about making light of my success. You know, I'm very fortunate, very humble, and everything that I do today in all of my business ventures is all about giving back and second chances. My television show on the Food Network, they offered me a show of choice. I chose to do a show that turned kids' lives around versus could have been selfish and did a show where I was on there smiling, showing my grill, and selling pots and pans, and it would still be on TV today. All of my lectures, all of my public speaking is all about finding a power in people who were dealt a bad deck of cards in life. So, but I respect the woman's, you know, her opinion. Everyone, you know, has a right to feel the way that they feel. But, you know, I'm proud of who I am, and I'm blessed that I was able to turn it around. So there's one less criminal that we have in society today.
Right. We call it the corrections system, which yes. means we hope to correct bad behavior, right?
Yeah, so that means people in the correctional system to some degree have had an impact on my life and many others, but everyone doesn't turn it around. So
right,
I'm one who, you know, who was very fortunate.
Yeah, well, but you had to do it yourself. It was hard work. I mean, I read the book cover to cover, and I'll have to say the first 3 years, if I'm getting that wrong, tell me, but when you were first incarcerated, you were basically just living the life you'd lived on the outside almost, because a lot of your buddies were in there with you. Right? And
yeah, well, you know, it was a period of denial. It was a period of bitterness, blaming, justifying. And, you know, it wasn't until I really started embracing education and reading. I read my first book, and, you know, I tapped into the wisdom of brilliant people who are locked up but who made poor choices. I mean, you know, the criminals that I was in prison with were multi-gazillionaires, Wall Street brokers, CEOs of companies, and, you know, who stole, who cheated, who fraud and embezzled. But it still doesn't take away from their intellect and their brilliance.
Right.
I was the person, you know, who was a young kid who always had a level of genius in me. It's just that it went undiscovered until I went to prison. And someone saw it in me when I never saw it in myself. And I just played to my strengths and allowed myself to take what I was good at and parlay that into a successful career after prison.
Yeah, now you wrote that you had the only two books you'd read were Curious George and James and the Giant Peach, and that it took, in your words, quote, the white boys in the TV room to explain to you that you needed to educate yourself about what goes on in the real world, meaning when the newspaper came, most of the African-American inmates would get the sports page, and then the white boys would get the business section, right? They would
yes.
read about world news and local news in the business section. And I think you even put in the book, I hope I get this quote right, but it's something like, if you want to keep something from a black man, put it in a book.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's, you know, historical in African-American community, because a lot of young black males don't read books because we grew up in the families where education wasn't valued, reading wasn't valued. We grew up in a house where there were no books. You know, we didn't see our parents reading books. And, you know, book reading is a learned behavior, you know, and it's a value that you learn to understand when you reap the benefits of reading, because reading broadens your knowledge, it opens your mind, It allows you to see yourself and the world different, and that's what happened with me.
And so all of a sudden, you're looking at this going, wait a minute, there's a whole other side to life out there I've missed out on. I've misinterpreted. You had been almost brainwashed by your own people. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, well, you know, I wouldn't say just, you know, my own people, but, you know, they were victims of a brainwash from, you know, years of, you know, centuries and decades, you know, beginning from slavery through the Jim Crow era in the 60s. It took individuals to be able to break out of that mindset, to be able to change the thinking of not just individuals, but of a race of people. And, you know, prison was that awakening moment for me. And, you know, for the first time in my life, you know, I socialized and bunked in cells with people who didn't come from my community, who didn't look like me and didn't share the same values as me, which allowed me to grow.
And I think what you found is that they weren't so bad after all, am I right?
Well, no. I mean, there's good and bad in everybody. I don't care what color, what religion, where you come from, what rock you crawled up under. We had a lot of shared values. You know, we're all, you know, I think that we all have the same principles and ideas, and mine is to live the American dream and get your slice of pie out of the sky, you know? It's just how you go about getting that and, you know, what steps you take.
Agreed. Okay, now what we're going to do is soon we're going to give out Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. And before we do, I'm going to have people have to listen to this thing by the attorneys. I normally give out flowers from Weistember Florist, and I'll still do that. I didn't get to hook up with you in time. I think I did, but I don't know if I got an answer. Would it be cool if we made the winner gets a free book?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm sorry I couldn't connect with you by email soon enough. I'm sorry I had to ask you that on the air, but I thought you'd be okay with that.
Yeah, not a problem. I actually have copies of my first cookbook, Chef Jeff Cooks, and it's filled with over 150 soul-filled classic comfort food dishes that I grew up on as a child, and it's filled with many, many stories. So that's the book that Chef Jeff is offering up today.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds great. Maybe you can send one for me, for the host?
Yeah, well, yes, if I definitely get my teeth polished when I come your way, you know.
Okay, hey, all right, so listeners, please listen to this first, and then when we come back, we'll give the question of the day.
Sunny 95 will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. Sunny 95 cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
And the question is, Chef Jeff Henderson's best-selling book is called what? Cooked, mixed, or spatulated? A, B, or C, cooked, mixed, or spatulated. The winner receives a free copy of Chef Jeff Henderson's cookbook with 150 recipes. And I think because it's almost Christmas and we're going to not going to have a show next week, you will also get free flowers from Weistember Florist. Please call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY. Okay, so while we're waiting for the phones to ring, because there's a delay, we have the HD radio, and we also have the, because it's a live show, they have that dump, you know, that 7-second dump, Chef. So we're going to go ahead. I have more questions for you. And, okay, now you said that you did the time didn't do you. Can you explain that to my listeners?
Yes, well, you know, when you let the time do you, those are individuals who do their sentence, bitter, angry, the world owes me mentality, and they get caught up in the whole prison lifestyle. But if you do the time wisely, use your time wisely, as I did and many other inmates, is reading, working, staying very constructive, staying very positive, staying in tune with what's going on in the outside world, which was very important. And one of the reasons why, you know, I continue to watch 60 Minutes, 2020, you know, news shows in prison. I read National Geographic, many magazines and newspapers, the Wall Street Journal, New York Post, New York Times, L.A. Times, just to keep me, you know, alive mentally.
You know, and, I'm a news junkie, too. I watch the news. I read the paper. I don't read novels. I read your book, but I don't typically read novels. And I just think it just makes you well-rounded, helps you understand other people's viewpoints, insight. You know, and of course, being a dentist is like being a barber. We talk to thousands of people every year. And you get to the point where you can agree with everybody, even if they disagree with each other, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm a current event news junkie myself. Even today, you know, Twitter, you know, I get breaking news, CNN, Fox, you name it, McNeil News Hour, the whole nine yards. I just love learning about culture, people, events, history as well, you know. So that's a big deal in my house.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm assuming that your kids are growing up with this role model, this person who keeps in touch and understands the importance.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, middle class values are important, which allows your kids to, you know, to view the world, you know, with a wide lens, which is important because young people need to know that they have options out there. You know, when you grow up in the inner city or you grow up poor in rural areas, it's like living in a mental penitentiary. It's like a box. You know, that's the only world you know. So what happens is that poverty mentality carries on from generation to generation. So the only way that cycle is going to be broken is you got to bust out of that box in that mental prison, and you have to expose yourself to the world and to other, you know, races, religions, and cultures and things of that nature. Yeah, that's what helps you, you know, tap into your, you know, to your strengths, your gifts, you know.
It does. It definitely does. Hey, we have some callers on the line, and we're gonna go to the phones, and don't hang up if the first one gets it right. We have Mary Ann, we have Margaret, so both stay on the line, please. Let's start with Mary Ann. Mary Ann, what's your guess?
It was cooked.
It is cooked. Very good. All right, Mary Ann, we're gonna send you a copy of Chef Jeff. Tell me the name of that book again, the cookbook.
Chef Jeff Cooks. It's 150 recipes. Childhood recipes I grew up on, great stories, stories of my grandparents and food stories that I'm sure you'd be able to relate to. And congratulations on the win.
Okay.
I speak to him real quick? I have a question.
Sure, go ahead. And then, Margaret, hang on because we'll get to you and your question soon, okay? So go ahead, Marianne.
Chef Jeff?
Yes, ma'am.
I was a correctional officer also back in the 70s, so I know where you're coming from. And I have to commend you. I'm not going to put you down because I dealt with the inmates. I was one of the first women to work inside Soledad Prison in California.
Yes.
If you heard of Soledad. But I wanted
Absolutely.
To ask you, I thought drug dealing, you go to state prison. I didn't know that was a federal crime. I kind of thought bank robbers were federal and high up, you know, those.
Well, the paradigm shifted. In the so-called war on drugs in the 80s, with the explosion of crack cocaine and the violence behind drugs and the large amounts of drugs being trafficked in the country became federal offenses. You know,
okay.
So, you know, I went to prison on a conspiracy. I never was caught with any drugs, but a conspiracy. And what happens is a lot of young people bring drugs across the borders and they have weapons and things of that nature. So the federal government started getting tough on drug dealers, so they started indicting them into the federal system versus the state.
Oh, okay. And you're right. It is all education, and I commend you that you stepped out because I saw, in my 10 years of working at Soledad, I saw many men leave and come back. So
yes.
I commend you. And I am so excited to get your book.
Thank you so much. And it's a pleasure. And I'll write something very special in there for you as well.
Well, thank you. You have a lovely day and a nice Christmas.
Yes, you too.
Hey, so Marianne, need to stay. Hang on because my producer's going to get more information from you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Margaret, how are you today?
I'm just fine.
Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, and I'm so happy to be hearing your message. I'm a school teacher, and your message will help so many, hopefully in a preventative way, too. Actually, I had a question. Is there time for me to ask?
Yes, go ahead.
I was wondering what part religion played in your transformation.
Well, you know, I definitely had a spiritual awakening throughout my incarceration, but there were moments when, you know, I was angry with God because I didn't understand how he would let something like this happen to me. But, you know, I grew up in prison, and I studied many, many different religions and different philosophies, and I took a little bit from everything, you know, which made me ultimately a better person at the end of the day. But it was through many prayers and the grace of God that I was able to survive the streets and the prison pretty much unscathed.
Yes. What a wonderful message.
Thank you so much. And tell those youngsters, no matter what their story is, no matter where they came from, no matter what deck of cards they were dealt in life, until you take your last breath, it's never too late to change. It's never too late. And, you know, I would never imagine that, you know, I would be preaching the gospel of change and education at the age of 47 today. And I thank God that I was able to find my way. And so when I look back at my prison experience, you know, I don't believe that I was arrested. I got rescued. You know, prison worked for me. It doesn't work for everyone, but I was able to find my purpose in life, and this is why I'm on this radio show today. Not because I'm Chef Jeff. It's because I was able to make that change and that transformation in my life.
Oh, thank you. I will share your message.
Hey, Margaret, if you'll hold on, my producer will get your information as well. We're going to get you flowers. And also, Chef Jeff, can we get her a cookbook too, Chef Jeff?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
That's awful kind of you.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you for the call. Now, we do have to go to a break. We're actually a little bit behind, so Chef, hang on with me, please.
Okay.
Great. Okay. You're welcome. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Looking for that perfect gift? Something different that your friends will love? Moxie's in Clintonville has just what you're looking for. Moxie specializes in entertainment, barware, dishware, and linens, both new and vintage. They carry Fiesta, Hearthstone, and Signature products. Moxie's also has the ideal host or hostess gifts. Wrap candies, including wax lips, bubblegum cigars, ring pops, and charm bracelets and necklaces. If you have no room to entertain, no problem. Moxie's has the room for you to host. The soiree room features black and white striped floors, Hollywood style seating, and a private outdoor deck. It's great for your next book or card gathering, birthday, or bridal shower. So when you're looking for a place to host some friends or looking for that perfect gift, go to Moxie's in Clintonville. Moxie's, 3339 North High Street, open Tuesday through Saturday. For more information and hours, call 657-6854, 657-6854.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go or if you could afford it? Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kvitko Mentness & Associates, we've been doing successful smile makeovers for decades. Stop in and see our vast library of actual before and after photos or see a small sampling of them at drkvitko.com. Plus, we've made them affordable. Whether you choose the low monthly payments or having your makeover done in phases to spread your cost over time, I know you'll be happy with your new smile. So what are you waiting for? You know you're worth it. Pick up the phone and call us at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. It's a call that's guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We have as our guest, Chef Jeff Henderson, author of Cooked, and the person whose story will be told, hopefully here, coming up in next year or so by Will Smith in, what would the movie be called, do you think?
The working title right now is Cooked, but you never know what it's going to turn into, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a good title, but you're right, they might come up with something more clever, right?
Yes.
Now, and I do really appreciate you getting up. I was 5 a.m. in Las Vegas, and now it's, 10 to 6 in Las Vegas. And I'm just so glad that you joined me. This is, it's right before Christmas, and we love hearing these heartwarming stories, and yours is a heartwarming story. And I will say, though, I'm a little jealous because It seems like it's pretty easy to get a movie about your life if you have gone to prison and you've redeemed yourself. It's a little bit harder if you just did everything right from day one.
Yeah, you know, interesting. I know a lot of people who criticize me and, you know, my story, you know, really believe like that. But, you know, again, I'm going to take it away from me. The movie is not going to be about, per se, Chef Jeff. The movie is about change. It's about transformation. It's about individual and people who bounce back. You know, people have different disasters in their life, and no one's perfect. Everyone, even the woman who called in with a little bit of criticism earlier, has done something they're not proud of.
Oh, yeah.
Mine happened to be drugs, you know, and I got caught and I went to prison. But, you know, we're all human, and
right.
No one is perfect. And the movie is not going to be a cliche drug dealer movie. The movie is really going to be about a person who finds his power, who finds the natural gifts he was born with, and is able to pull out of that dark side. And that was why Will Smith was very, very interested in Sony in this movie project. It's not because of the glamorization of a drug dealer, because, you know, even though I was a drug dealer, I would have to say, and not sounding arrogant, that I was pretty different, to say. I mean, I never had a fight on the streets. I've never given drugs to kids or young people or anything like that. I had a sense of, you know, some wicked integrity, I would say.
Yeah, I think you said you might have been one of the nicest drug dealers or something like that, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I drugs was my product.
Right.
I was born with the traits of a businessman. I'm a very successful businessman today. What separates me back then and today is the product. I just had a bad product because, you know, I didn't really understand the whole dynamics of business or saw the impact that drugs would have, you know, on our country. But if someone would have pulled my coattail, or saw the fact that I was the number one newspaper boy as a kid, the number one candy seller. I had all the traits, but no one saw that but the drug dealers who taught me how to sell drugs.
You were really the number one candy seller and the number one newspaper boy?
Oh, yeah. I had the number one newspaper route, the Linda Vista Sentinel paper, San Diego Evening Tribune, and we had candy crews where these guys had these candy businesses would come down in the inner city and pick up all the poor black kids and take us to the suburbs. We would sell candy and earn trips to Disneyland and Magic Mountain and Knott's Berry Farm.
Wow.
I was the number one. Every night I came back, all my candy was sold. There's not one customer who didn't buy my candy for me. So I developed customer service skills, marketing skills, and things of that nature as a young kid.
You know, I was the number one caddy when I was like 12, almost too young to be a caddy. I won a trip to Expo 67 by getting more newspaper clients. I had a newspaper route as well, the Cleveland Press and the Plain Dealer. And I also won the top prize when we were selling candy for a trip in fifth grade. So, yeah, we have a lot of parallels there.
Yeah, and Doctor, that's why you're very successful today. Somebody saw it in you, so that's, hey, I'm proud of you, man.
Yes, paper boys have to stick together, right?
My brother from another mother, huh?
Yeah, and let's talk about family, because I know Stacy is who was helping set this interview up, and I now realize Stacy's your wife, and must be a wonderful lady to have stuck with you through some of those hard times. I did see in the book, I wanted to ask you, is it a typo or did I just read it wrong? It said that Noel that was born, I think the book said 6 months early. Did it mean 6 weeks early?
You may be reading that wrong. She may have been 6 weeks early, yes.
Okay. I could have sworn it said 6 months, and I thought, I got to ask about that, because I didn't think you could survive if you were 6 months
early. Interesting. You have to let me know offline what chapter, because there's a few typos. In there. I mean, no book is perfect. I mean, the way they push books out these days, but something I like to correct when we do a reprint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I am onto something then. Maybe I did find it. Hey, we have one more quick break, and then when we come back, I just have some closing comments and thoughts, and if you can hang with me, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, okay, because the kids are waking up here. They're going to be coming to me soon.
Okay. Hey, the show's over at 6 year time, so we only got a few minutes, but we'll be right back after the break.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show, Dr. Kavicko. Let's go!
Yeah! Yeah!
experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help. So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are you an adult with teeth that are crooked? Maybe you had braces as a kid, but you didn't wear your retainer as often as you should have? Or maybe your parents weren't able to offer you braces as a child. Well, take heart. Now you can have straight teeth in 6 months. That's right. Using clear brackets and tooth-colored wires, we can straighten your teeth before it's even time for your next cleaning. So, if you have a high school reunion, a graduation party, or even a wedding in your future, why not let us straighten, then whiten your teeth? Interested? Call us to schedule a no-charge 6-month smiles consultation at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko show to reach your customers by becoming a sponsor? Learn how by calling 262-9588. That's
262-9588. I want to put a smile on your face. I praise in my heart to you. I want to put a smile on your face. I praise in my heart to you.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. My guest today has been Chef Jeff Henderson, author of the book Cooked, and soon to be the center of a movie. Possibly, played by Will Smith, we will see. And Chef Jeff, tell me a little bit about, we only have a couple minutes, but I wanted you to tell me a little bit about the TAP program, Teenage Awareness Program.
Yes, the TAP program was a program a bunch of inmates, we started in prison, and TAPS means Teenage Awareness. And, you know, it goes back to the show My Commitment. I hope that the woman who called in earlier with the lightweight criticism can really understand that before I became Chef Jeff, I was changing lives and working with young people from behind the walls. And we started this teenage awareness program. We convinced the warden, said, hey, warden, you got all these guys in prison who have made change in their lives, who understand understand choices and consequences. Let's bring in high school kids into prison and let's talk to them. And that's some of the work that I'm most proud of prior to my release from prison, is being able to touch the lives of young people while still incarcerated. It's the same thing as I do today, been reaching back, trying to fix my wrong for over the past 22, 23 years.
And you're to be commended for that. I think it's really great. You could just read your determination in the book. Didn't matter how many setbacks you were put in front of you, you still just kept going and going and going. And I admire that. I admire people that have a passion and they have a goal and they just go and get it. And congratulations on that. I'm happy that things have worked out for you. We have 20 seconds, so what I want to do is we're going to say our goodbyes. If you want to maybe hang on the phone for a minute, I can try to find that passage, or we can communicate later if your kids are getting up and you need to be with them.
I tell you what, you have my number.
I do.
Reach out to me Monday morning, and we'll make sure we get those books. Hopefully they can have them by Christmas.
That sounds great. Thank you again for your time. You have a great Christmas and Happy New Year, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you, Doc.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Happy holidays. Bye.
Be sure and tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.